Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Champlin, Managing Editor of Pumps and Systems Magazine. In this episode, we will talk with Systems Engineer Bill Avoti about the common reasons why so many pump systems are poorly designed. Here, Bill will break down the reasons why so many systems are poorly designed, and then in a future episode, he will lay out the specifics of how to write a general scope document that can prevent design issues. This episode is presented by Flowrox. With over 40 years of experience in elastomer technology, Flowrox is the benchmark for heavy-duty valves, pumps, and systems. Check them out at flowrox.com. That's F-L-O-W-R-O-X.com. Bill Avoti recently retired after more than 40 years in the pump industry, working as an engineer both for OEM companies that make pumps and motors and also for end-user companies that buy pump systems. He is still very involved in working to share his knowledge to end users today. Bill has been a longtime contributor to Pumps and Systems Magazine and has a bi-monthly column titled Pump System Standards. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Drew, and thank you for the opportunity to participate in this podcast.
Absolutely. And I know you're technically retired after more than 40 years in the pump industry, but you're still very busy, obviously. So just kind of tell the listeners what all you're up to these days.
Sure. Yeah, I officially retired last July from WEG Electric, which was an absolute blessing to spend about the last 6 years of my career with WEG. But since my retirement, or semi-retirement, if you will, I have joined staff at J.K. Muir as their senior pump and systems engineer. And I also do some, if you will, marketing and technical consulting that is outside of the J.K. Muir services. So I'm doing some of that type of consulting for some notable standards organizations, as well as some OEMs. So, Drew, actually, I'm staying quite busy as a retiree. But as you said, I am quite passionate about this, so I did not want to lose my connection to the industry.
What has you very passionate? Why is this such an? Why should this be such an important topic for pump users today?
That is a great question, and thank you for asking that question. And yes, I am extremely passionate about it because, as you said, I've got over 40 years in the industry as a mechanical seal engineer and as a pump engineer for three large pump OEMs, as well as time as an end user and working for two motor OEMs. Now, why did I bring that up? Because in all of those disciplines, I saw as an OEM in my respective job duties, I would be called out for warranty, let me quote, warranty claims. And as a system specialist, a skill set that I acquired over years in the industry, I would start evaluating the system, and what would I find out? The system wasn't correctly designed or specified. So most recently, as a working for WEG Electric, I'd be called out for issues with motors that are overheating, tripping out, burning up. And I start looking at it. And sure enough, in almost virtually all the cases, the system was not correctly specified. Say it's on a variable frequency drive. They had the cable lengths were too long, and therefore they had voltage overshoot or reflective wave, which resulted in the motor being burned up. They didn't put in DVDT filters, things of that nature. In other applications, I would see where the engineering firm simply did not size the pumps correctly. Therefore, the motor overloaded and tripped the motor out. So my point being, Drew, my passion for this comes with the fact that there are no pump system standards. As a result, anybody Drew, you, myself, anybody can design a system, a pump system, and nobody could say it's designed incorrectly. Now, is that not a scary thought?
That sounds like a moneymaker for someone who's not who doesn't know what they're doing, but absolutely.
Yeah, and you know where I've made my most money for my respective employers is troubleshooting the system, identifying the root cause. And you've heard the old expression, I'm in the hero-making business, is solving a chronic problem for the end user because they are the recipient of these, and I'm going to say it, poorly or incorrectly designed systems. So I could spend another 40 years, a whole nother career, and never run out of existing systems to fix. And I've actually been called out on brand new installations. They're still in the commissioning process. And I'd get called out, like I said, it'd be the motor, a motor issue, a pump issue. I go out there and I start evaluating the system. I said, folks, the system isn't designed correctly. Here's what's wrong here, here, here. Well, the engineering firm designed it or so-and-so and so-and-so designed it. Well, I'm sorry. Here's what's wrong. And I do the calculations. I show them the calculations, or if you will, the basic physics of the system. Now tell me how that's going to work. And they're just befuddled over the fact that they expected the system to be designed correctly. I asked the end user, were you involved, and here we go, Drew, were you involved with the specification? The answer was, no. We let the engineering firm design the system. I said, no disrespect for the engineering firm, but that is where your problem started. You needed to generate a clearly defined general scope document. And
yeah.
To that point, Drew, I have done numerous training classes. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I spent a week in California at a huge water wastewater facility training them on how to write a general scope document, what to look for, how to prepare it to ensure that they get a properly designed system. So there's my passion.
Yeah.
I hate to see us, you've heard the old analogy, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? Well, what we're doing is insane. We haven't shifted the status quo. We haven't changed the way we design systems. There's no standard. So we need to stop that and develop a standard for systems. Now that's much easier said than done because various industries require different specifications for a system. But it's got to start somewhere.
And now a word from our presenting sponsor. Thank you for listening to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Flowrox. For more than 40 years, Flowrox has been the world's largest manufacturer of abrasive handling pinch valves. In that time, Flowrox has added many high-quality products to its portfolio. Those products include an advanced rolling design peristaltic pump, even wall progressive cavity pumps, heavy-duty slurry knife gate valves, rubberized check valves, and Flowrox's Malibu IIoT condition monitoring system for valuable plant assets using digital twin imagery in a document managing system. For more information, visit flowrox.com. That's FLOWROX.com. And now, back to the podcast. And let everybody know, if you go to pumpsandsystems.com and you click on the magazine tab at the top of the page, you can scroll down and William Lavoti has his own tab, so a lot of, you know, you can click on that and see the columns you've written recently and also even some stories that you've written over the last few years. especially, this month, a keynote that I took from your column, and this column is not yet online, but it is in the August issue of the magazine, or maybe online by the time the podcast is posted, but have a keynote, end users with a clearly defined general scope document, GSD, have the most reliable efficient pump systems. Those who leave the process in the hands of a third party have the most problematic systems. How many, Bill, these days, if you had to put a percentage on it, what percentage of these end users actually have a clearly defined general scope document, and which are you seeing who don't?
All right, I got to speak from my experience, as you asked. I haven't seen one yet.
You haven't seen a clearly defined general scope document?
That is correct. I have not seen a clearly defined general scope document that, ready for this, meets today's needs. Now, what do I mean by today's needs? We're in an energy-conscious society. We have businesses in the U.S. struggling to survive. So efficiency, reliability are key to survival in today's economy. I'll use water wastewater industry. Well, water wastewater industry can't move offshore, obviously. But they have to answer to their ratepayers. So if they continue to purchase and construct poorly designed systems, it's going to continue to drain their maintenance people. In fact, when I was in California, their maintenance and operations people were completely worn out, always putting out fires. What can we do to stop this? Write a good general scope document for all your new systems, and now evaluate your existing systems to make them as efficient and reliable as cost-effectively possible. So the dilemma is we need to focus on energy efficiency, reliability, and in some industries, uptime availability to improve your overall life cycle cost of your systems. And that's the thing that is not happening. This is what we need to do. Somebody asked me a question once. What common mistakes do I see when designing a system or purchasing assets? Holy cow. Incorrectly specified pumps, most all of them are grossly, not just oversized, grossly oversized. So then they're throttling them. How are they throttling them? With an MOV, that's a motor-operated valve. I've even seen them using block valves or a butterfly valve manually controlling the system, pushing the pump back on the curve, beating the daylights out of the pump. They resulting with an unstable operation, tearing up the pump, shaking the piping, high vibration, just a very unreliable, inefficient pump system that's eating up their maintenance cost. Purchasing assets. When I was in the power industry as an end user, I was on their acquisition team. And I'd go in to look at plants that we were going to purchase. And one of my duties was looking at the balance of plant equipment, which was mostly pumps and fans and such. And I cannot tell you how many of the pumping systems were being throttled. And I look at their reliability was horrendous. So the plant's uptime was terrible, which made it a bad acquisition. All of those things would have to be corrected in order for my company to get a reasonable return on their investment for buying the facility. So this is a chronic problem across all industries in let's call it the North American market today. In Europe, they're 20 years ahead of us. They understand energy efficiency. They realize that they need to have better system designs and control their systems better. But in the U.S., we are way behind the curve on addressing those issues.
Why do you think that is, Bill?
Because in the U.S., and I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, they tend to look at first cost. And in the training I've done over the years for some standards organizations and as a working for the various OEMs, I do a big spiel on life cycle cost versus first cost. Life cycle cost is the way you need to go. That's what they do in Europe and other countries. But in the U.S., everything is bought on first cost. But if you look at the overall life cycle cost of a pumping system, only 15% of the overall life cycle cost is comprised of purchasing and installing the equipment. The rest is comprised by energy consumption, operations, and maintenance. 88% of the life cycle cost of a typical pumping system is energy, operations, and maintenance. But what do they focus on? First cost. How much is it going to cost? And that is a fool's bet. Would you go out and buy a car based on that? I want the cheapest car you've got. How many people go out and buy the absolute cheapest car on the market? I ask the people listening to this podcast, I ask you to think about that. I'll bet very few people go out and say, what's the cheapest car I can buy? And that's what they buy. I see an awful lot of very expensive cars on the road. So why do we go out and buy or specify the cheapest motor pump system that they can buy? It doesn't make any sense. Because a pumping system, theoretically, when I was an end user, we would amortize our equipment for 35 years. 35 years. But you're going to buy the cheapest system available and expect it to last for 35 years? I hardly think so. I've seen a lot of very expensive pumping systems that should run reliably, meantime between repair, they should run for 20 years. They're only running for 1 and 2 years. That is absolutely insane. This is what we've got to correct, Drew. This is my passion. This is why I'm writing these articles, a series of articles, on how to write the general scope document. I'm not writing the article on how to write a spec. It's the general scope document. This is what the end user needs to prepare to present to the engineering design firm that they are requesting a proposal from. Hey, engineering design firm, here is our expectation. This is what we want. Now, quote us. Write us back and quote us on that. This is what we want. That's what the general scope document is. And we can go into that in more detail in future podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. In your experience in the industry, obviously more than 40 years, has it always been like this as far as, you know, what you just described, or did it just really kind of go this way about, you know, some 10 or 15 years ago?
That's another good question. Yes, it's always been this way. At the end of the day, it has always been this way, Drew. And that's what really has rattled my cage throughout my career. Why do we keep doing this? Well, it's got to be cheap. And here's the painful aspect of it. How did I'm generalizing. I know there's exceptions to every rule. But how, and I ask our listeners, how did the engineering firm win the contract? Generally, it's because they came in with the lowest price. Generally, there's always exceptions, but generally, they had the lowest price. Now, if any of you have ever had a house built, if you came, once you signed the agreement to have the house constructed, and then you and your wife decide, oh, we want to add this, this, and this, did the builder give it to you for free? That's a question. The answer is no.
I would hope
not. It came at a substantially higher price, didn't it? Any adders came at a much higher price. So do you think, out of respect to the engineering firms, that they're going to give you anything for free? They would lose their backsides. So unless, let's go back to the general scope document. So unless the end user, the equipment owner, states exactly what they want, what the end result is in detail, you're not going to get it. You're going to get whatever the engineering firm designs. If you don't ask for it, how do they know what you want? They don't have a crystal ball to look into to read your mind. The end user has to clearly define what their expectations are. Hey, Mr. Engineering Firm, we're going to swing the load on this system. It's going to operate from here to here. We need to have the lowest possible energy cost. We want the most efficient system available. We want a certain metallurgy because of the pumpage that we are going to be pumping. I mean, you got to lay all this out. You got to give them a clear recipe for what you want.
Well, Bill, that's a lot of great information there, and I don't want to leave anything out. So as we end this podcast, what do you recommend to end users as they move forward based on the information you've shared?
Oh, that's a good question, Drew. One thing, and we could go into the general scope document in a future podcast, but one thing that I want to emphasize, and I've emphasized this in the training that I provide to end users on system efficiency, system reliability, and general scope documents, repair standards, and so on. The one thing, the most important thing that the end user could do is work as a team. Now, what do I mean by that? When you're looking at a project, you're planning to expand your existing plant with the pumping systems, or you're planning a new facility, formulate a team. Now, who should be on this team? Let me just give you a quick list. Operations, maintenance, purchasing, certainly your projects people, your electrical engineers, your mechanical engineers, your reliability people, your controls people. All of these people need to be part of that team to properly develop a solid general scope document. But it's a team effort. You've heard the old expression, there's no I in team. That's an understatement. No one person in your operation, and I challenge you on this, prove me wrong, no one person in your company knows enough to generate a solid general scope document that is going to protect and ensure your company will get a good, reliable, efficient system from the engineering firm. We can expand on what comprises a general scope document in our next podcast.
Absolutely. Look forward to hearing from you on that, Bill. And actually, what you just talked about as far as the list of teams to involve in plant improvement, that's in your June column on pumpsandsystems.com. So just find your June issue. Hopefully, you've got your subscription. But if you want to go to pumpsandsystems.com, you can just go to the magazine tab and scroll down to William Lavoti, had a plan for expanding a pump system, and that's just part of the series that he's already got started on this. And we look forward to continuing this podcast, continuing what you're going to be writing in the magazine on this topic. Because I know there's a lot we could talk about here. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who are interested in hearing more. So Bill Avodia, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It's been a real pleasure, Drew. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Pumps and Systems Podcast. We'd like to thank William Lavodi for his insight, and we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Flowrox. Please subscribe to the Pumps and Systems Podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave us a review, share it with your friends, and leave us a rating as well. Thank you so much.